Hello and welcome to the Manological Podcast. Coming up on this week's episode, we have Off Script, where we discuss the prospect of compulsory maths to the age of 18. We'll hear about the school's RSPCA drive this week, our recent school fixtures, plus an update on Premier League football. We have some rundowns of some of the most expensive gadgets, the best English foods, and the best artworks. We also have a terrific batch of jokes from the children, and our teacher interview is with Year 3 form teacher Mrs. Hire. We start off with Off Script, where I sit down with a small group of our podcasters to chat about something topical in a more conversational style. So, over to me. On this edition of Off Script, I'm again joined by James, Obba and Lachlan from Year 6, and we've decided this week to talk about Rishi Sunak's recent plans to extend maths for all pupils in England until the age of 18. So this would obviously affect you guys, whether you enjoy maths at the moment, whether you think math is going to be important for you going forward right the way up to 18 into the careers that you might want to go into. So what do you think about it, guys? What do you think it's a good idea from Rishi Sunak?
Well, in my personal opinion, in this day and age, it's a lot easier to like get a job as like a content creator with the help of with the rise of YouTube, Facebook and Twitter. But in like, I want to become an animator when I grow up. And in just my opinion, there are a lot of jobs out there where math just isn't required. And it's just like, if you're a podcaster, you don't really need to know that much maths. If you're an animator, I guess geometry and frame rates, but you can figure that out without having to study maths until you're 18. I feel like it should be a choice. If you're a librarian, what do you need to do with maths?
Okay. What do you think, Lachlan?
I disagree with Ova. I think that you need to have maths, because maths in most jobs, like engineering, scientist, also if you're making a car, for instance, you need to know the exact measurements, and same with architecture. Recently, in maths, we've actually been doing architecture, and you need to know the exact measurements.
Very good. James?
I think, it, like what Obba said, it kind of depends on what job you're doing. Most jobs, I think you need maths more than you would actually think if you just think about it. You need to think about it harder, because lots more jobs need maths than you actually think, because, say, like Obba said, you want to be an animator, you kind of do need more maths, because you have to have all the shapes, like Obba said.
Okay.
But there's also some other maths included, so you do need it for quite a lot of jobs.
I don't think geometry counts for animation. Like, that's like saying a toddler drawing a circle is like them learning geometry early in their child prodigy.
Well, no, but it's still early stages of maths for a toddler, to be fair. So, but what is it currently, guys? Do you know when would teenagers get the opportunity to drop maths? Do you know how old you would be to do that?
I think you need to be in 16.
Yeah, so it'd be after your GCSE. So at the moment, everybody has to do maths until GCSE. So Rishi Sunak is proposing that it extends beyond that, so like into sixth form or into colleges, for absolutely everybody. So it's only another 2 years. So is that so bad?
Well, while it is just another 2 years, it does feel like if you do want to be an animator, if you do want to be a podcaster, if you want to be a librarian, if you do want to be a baker, it's going to take a lot of time and energy away from putting your full passion into that. And maybe it's just for 2 years, but you could get a proper business started in 2 years.
You could do. But don't you think if you're going to start a business, so you need to have a pretty firm grasp of maths to be able to run your business?
Okay, you got me there.
Yeah, I think you're quite right along certain lines. There's certain jobs might not be quite so maths-based as others, but I do think most jobs do have an element of maths. I wonder just, though, by the time you get to 16, you've covered a lot of maths already. So how much more would children cover in those 2 years between 16 and 18 that would really be a benefit? I'd be interested to see what their plans are precisely in terms of what children would be expected to cover at that point. I think also, to talk about the jobs that you're mentioning, the other thing you've got to remember is sometimes people's plans and careers change. Yeah, people change jobs or change careers in the middle of their lives. And so to have that foundation of maths in case they change their minds or things or their situation changes could be useful. And I think one other thing to consider would also be that it's not just about the jobs you go into, but just your everyday life. You know, being able to budget, to pay your bills, to measure up things in your homes, to furnish it and things like that. There could be tons of things that you could need maths for.
Well, yeah, that is very true. But I feel like what you said again, we've seen what it's like when you come from maths to 16, and we haven't really had much of an issue, really. It's just extending it for another 2 years. I'm not saying I don't like maths. I do quite enjoy maths. But I'm saying that it does feel like adding an extra stress to the student wouldn't... It's not... Because, like, doing the 11 plus, I felt a lot of stress, and I can just only... Like, when a GCSE would be even more stressful. So adding even more stress to the student's back, it's just like...
After you finished, yeah.
Yeah, no, I think that's a really fair point, especially when I think, you know, you'll know that some people find maths easier than others. And there are certain people who hate maths, and the prospect of having to do maths for another 2 years, you know, would be quite daunting. And I think you're quite right. If maths isn't their strength, there's an argument, well, maybe they should do more so they could make it their strength. But the counter argument is that if it's not their strength and they're not going to necessarily pursue a career that's going to involve it, then why put them through another 2 years of math torture?
Yeah.
It's not always that necessary.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a tricky one. I think it was a headline grabber at the time when Rishi Sunak announced it. But I think the actual intricacies of exactly how it would work and what would be covered aren't exactly clear yet. But I think generally we're on the fence as a foursome here. I think if you were Rishi Sunak, James, would you be for or against this idea?
I think I would try and encourage people to do a bit more maths, but I wouldn't make it mandatory.
Okay.
Depending on, like, because if they really, really hate maths and they want to have nothing with it when they have a job, then they should have the choice.
Okay. What about you, Lauren?
Well, currently because we finished our 11 plus and all the homework, we're currently making projects. So, like, we had to do radius circumference on buildings. So I think they should just be able to do more, like, fun projects like them. And currently we've got to make a 3D model and it's just got to be something real, and it's a lot more fun than just doing papers.
Yeah, very much agree.
I'm against it because I just feel like people should have the choice. There are a lot of jobs that don't necessarily need maths, and a lot of people just find maths really stressful, like this group project, not group, was just talking about. I don't find it stressful, but it's going to take me a while to, like, get into it because I'm not very good at, like, arts and crafts and that kind of stuff. I'm just good at, like, sketching down stuff, not really actually physically...
Building
it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that links in very nicely to the idea of people having strengths and weaknesses and areas of preference. But I think you guys are speaking a lot of sense. I think giving people the choice, making it practical and useful, and so it can be applied in a better way rather than just being literally sitting there and doing a bunch of sums and equations. I think that would make a lot of sense. So yeah, I think we should put you guys in charge and take you to Rishi Sunak and to get your opinion across. I hope he listens. All right, thank you very much, boys.
Bye.
Next, here's Erin to tell us all about the RSPCA initiative at Manor Lodge this week.
Hello, my name is Erin, and this week at Manor Lodge we have been collecting donations to help the RSPCA Southridge Centre. Each morning children have been dropping off their donations in collection boxes. The infant children then ordered and tallied them all before the junior classes used their math skills to calculate their total lengths each day. We then mapped out how far the donations would stretch along the road to see if we could reach all the way to the Southridge Centre. It turned out to be quite a challenge, but we made it all the way to the main road, and if we went cross country instead of by road, we were virtually there. Thank you to everyone for all your donations. The staff at Southridge are so grateful, and we're sure all the lovely animals will be too.
Yes, I'm sure they will. A fantastic effort. All of those donations measured a whopping 488 metres. Considering how small a lot of those pet treats and toys are, that is an amazing effort. So thank you for everyone's generosity. Moving on, we next have Harley to report on some of our recent sports fixtures.
Hello, I'm Harley, and today I'm going to talk about last week's fixtures. On Monday, the Year 5 girls played Haberdashers. It was a clean sweep with all five teams walking away with wins. Across the afternoon, they scored 38 goals and only conceded 9. Top work. On Tuesday, we welcomed St Margaret's to Manor Lodge. They brought a mix of Year 3 and Year 4 children. The A team had a tough competition as the opponent's height was definitely an advantage. One team won 4-3, another 18-13, another 8-4, another 5-0, and the pink team won an excellent 12-0. Congratulations to them all. On Wednesday, a selection of Year 5 and Year 6 girls travelled to the rugby school for the IS Regional Netball Tournament. There were 6 teams. The highlights was the third game. At halftime, we were 2-5 down, but we fired back on the second half to win 7-5. They finished the group stage in the second place, going through to the cup quarterfinals. On Thursday, the Year 4 children competed in a quadrangular versus Edgegrove, Westbrook Hay and Beechwood Park. The A team get a special mention of their hat trick, beating Westbrook 7-4, Beechwood 4-1 and Edgegrove 10-3. Thank you for listening to my bit of podcast.
Thanks, Harley. Now, sticking with sport, here's George and Harry to give us an update on recent going-ons in the Premier League.
Hello, I'm George, and today we're talking about the three football updates in 2023 winter. Section 1, transfers and loans.
First of all, Enzo Fernandez was transferred from Benfica to Chelsea for $107 million. What a transfer!
Next, Keylor Navas went from Paris Saint-Germain to Nottingham Forest. What a loan!
Marcel Sabitzer went from Bayern Munich to Manchester United.
Then, Pedro Porro went from Sporting Lisbon to Tottenham, loan with obligation to buy for $40 million.
Sasa Lukic went from Torino to Fulham, but the deal was sadly undisclosed.
Section 2. The weekend from the 4th of February to the 5th of February scores in matches. First of all, Everton played Arsenal, and the score was Everton 1, Arsenal 0. This was Sean Dyche's first game as manager. Of relegation threatened Everton and Arsenal's first loss since September.
The second match was the Aston Villa versus Leicester. The score was 4-2 to Leicester.
The next match was Brentford versus Southampton. It was 3-0 to Brentford.
The next match was Brighton versus Bournemouth. The score was Brighton 1, Bournemouth 0.
Then, Manchester United played Crystal Palace and it was 2-0. Despite Casemiro's red card, Manchester United held on for the win.
The next match was Wolves versus Liverpool. The score was 3-0. Liverpool's surprisingly poor form continues.
After that, Newcastle played West Ham and the score was 1-1. Now it's Sunday.
Nottingham Forest versus Leeds. Nottingham Forest won 1-0.
Then, Spurs played Manchester City and it was 1-0. Tottenham's winning goal was striker Harry Kane's 267th goal for the club, making him the record goal scorer, beating the previous record held by Jimmy Greaves for 53 years. What team do you support? Bye. Thank you for listening to our bit of the podcast.
Yes, a huge milestone for Harry Kane. Tottenham's top scorer now. He'll very likely become the England team's top scorer in the coming months and is on track to become the all-time Premier League top scorer in the next couple of seasons. A true legend of our time. Speaking of legends, there are a few in this next section too, where Ruby tells us about some of the best ever famous artworks.
Hello, podcast. This is Ruby. I am going to tell you the five best artworks ever, starting with the Mona Lisa. Artist Leonardo da Vinci created this artwork. You can see this creation in Paris at the Louvre Museum. This painting has a mysterious lady with a puzzling smile. Number two, The Starry Night, created by Vincent van Gogh. You can see this artwork in New York. In this artwork, Van Gogh uses a thick brush but does tiny brush strokes. Thirdly, The Scream by Edvard Munch. You can see this artwork in Norway. Edward used pastels to create this type of artwork. The Guernica by Pablo Picasso. You can see this artwork in Madrid. This is the most recent painting out of all the five artworks. This artwork has loads of faces and pictures put together to make this. Finally, The Girl with a Pearl Earring by Johannes Vermeer. You can see this artwork in the Netherlands. This artwork often gets compared to the Mona Lisa, but isn't quite a portrait. It's an imaginary person. Hope you enjoyed my part of the podcast.
Very much. Next, here's James, Hugo and Lachlan to run down some of the most expensive gadgets.
Hi, I'm Lachlan.
Hi, I'm James.
Hi, I'm Hugo.
And we're going to be telling you about the top five most expensive gadgets in the world.
At number five, we have the Triton Personal 3303, which is the greatest available submarine for exploring the world under the waves. The submarine, which cost $2 million, can dive to a depth of 3,280 feet under the sea.
At number four, we have solid fossil bronze speakers. Heart Audio released speakers priced $4.7 million. It is available in the world. A total of $515,000 was spent on the five sets of silver speakers. The solid fossil bronze speakers are priced at $63,000 each, with only 99 pairs available.
At number three, we have a very special iPad. Stuart Hughes has constructed an iPad using shavings from a 65 million year old T-Rex dinosaur bone. That's not all, though. The device front frame has composed an aluminium, the world's oldest rock, which dates back 75 million years ago.
At number two, the $15 million iPhone 5 Black Diamond took 9 weeks to construct using 135 grams of 24-carat pure gold.
At number one, we have the Supernova iPhone 6 Pink Diamond. Far from being just another iPhone 6, is the world's most expensive customised phone, costing a whopping $48.5 million. Falcon designs the phone, which has a platinum plating and a large pink diamond on the back. According to GQ, Nita Ambani, the wife of an Indian billionaire, Mukesh Ambani, owns the device.
Some comedy for you now. James, Lachlan and Obba have got some side-splitting jokes for us.
Hello, podcast listeners. We are here to add a bit of humour to the cast. So listen in. We promise the jokes won't be too catastrophic.
Why did the Oreo go to the dentist? Because he lost his filling.
Why is a snake difficult to fool? Because you can't pull his leg.
Okay, but let's be real here for a second. Singing in the shower is fun. Until you get soap in your mouth. Then, it's a soap opera!
What did the baby corn say to the mama corn? Where's popcorn?
How did Harry Potter get down the hill? Walking, J.K. Rowling!
Okay, guys, my dad told me a joke about boxing that I was going to say here, but I guess I missed the punchline.
Why didn't the skeleton climb the mountain? It didn't have the guts.
I made a pencil with two erasers. It was pointless.
All right, guys, thanks for listening. We hope you had a good time here in our jokes.
Thanks, guys. Some good ones in there. Now, Fiore and Layla in Year 3 are here next to run down what they found to be the top 7 English dishes.
Hi, my name is Layla.
And my name is Fiore.
Today we are going to tell you the 7 best dishes you need to try.
And we hope you enjoy hearing about these yummy dishes.
Number 1, fish and chips.
Number 2, bangers and mashed potatoes.
Number 3, a full English breakfast.
Number 4, Sunday roast.
Number 5, toad in a hole.
Number 6, shepherd's pie.
Finally, number 7, steak and kidney pie.
You may think some of these may sound a bit bad, but it may taste yummy.
If you can go to a restaurant, see if they have any of these delicious dishes.
We hope you enjoyed our part of the podcast.
Bye, we hope you have a great day.
Very nice. More from Year 3 for our teacher interview this week. Mrs. Hyer joined Manor Lodge in September, so is now halfway through her first year here. Sienna, Layla and Fiore from her class took the opportunity to put some questions to her.
Hi, my name is Sienna.
My name is Layla.
And my name is Fiore.
Mrs. Hyer is 3H's teacher.
She's also head of Year 3.
Mrs. Hyer, get ready for the questions.
Number 1, what school did you go to when you were little?
I went to a school in Leeds and it was an all-girls school. It was called Gateways. And it was on a big space of land, a bit like our school, and it was next to a farm. So every time they put the manure on at times of year, it was very smelly. But it was a very nice school, and it was I was there from year 4 until I graduated at 18, until I left school.
Interesting.
Number 2, Mrs. Hyer, how old were you when you became a teacher?
So what was interesting with me is that I did a degree at university. So I went to university and I didn't study teaching, I actually studied psychology. So I did that for 3 years. And then at 21, I went to go be a teaching assistant. So that's before I hadn't trained to be a teacher yet. So at 22 was when I started my teacher training. So I was a fully qualified teacher, I think, at 23.
Number 3, what is your favourite subject to teach?
Oh, I don't know if you know what my favourite subject to teach
maths.
Is. You do. I love maths. I always loved maths when I was little. And I never actually did it past GCSE. That's past about 16. Because when you the older that you get, the more subjects that you do, more often. So if you do, you choose 3 subjects and you do them maybe like twice a day. And I didn't want to fall out in love with it. But I love to teach maths because there's always a right answer. You'll get there eventually, won't you?
Number 4, what made you want to be a teacher?
So, I had a fantastic teacher when I was at school. She was called Mrs. Hayward and she was my geography teacher and she was my psychology teacher. And she made my lessons so fun. Exactly like I do to you. And she was really engaging and she used to plan loads of games. And even one lesson, it was my birthday coming up the next time. So I said to her, I really want to do something fun on my birthday. So she designed this whole fun, engaging lesson all about CSI. So trying to work out crimes. And she made it really fun and exciting. So I loved having her as a teacher and she inspired me.
She sounds just like you.
Thank you.
Number 5. What job did you want when you were 7?
Oh, it was a bit of a weird one. And actually, there's a funny story about this. I used to want to be a masseuse. So, because I was really good at giving massages to my mummy. And I used to give my mum massages all the time. And then one day, my sister said to my mum, "Can I give you a massage?" And my mum said, "Of course." My sister was older. And my sister said, "Who's better, Sherry or myself?" And my mum said, "You're both the same." And I cried and I said, "I want to be in the masseuse. I want to be the masseuse. I should be better." And I never wanted to be a masseuse since. And I never gave her a massage since I was 7.
Number 6. What school did you teach before you went to Manor Lodge?
I was at a school in Hampstead, so closest to London. And it was called South Hampstead. And it was an all-girls school. And I was there for 4 years.
Number 7, what is your favourite colour?
So, it's a hard one because I've always said my favourite colour is purple, like a really dark purple. But maybe over the years I've kind of become quite an adult and it's gone quite neutral, so maybe more of like a creamy beigey brown. But I'd say if I were to wear clothes, what do you think my favourite colour is wearing clothes?
Black.
I always wear black clothes, but I'd say my favourite colour in general would probably be like a dark purple.
Number 8. What is your favourite food?
You all definitely surely know this. My favourite food.
Oranges.
An orange. I love oranges.
We know your least favourite food.
What's my least favourite food?
Is it chocolate?
Oh, I don't like chocolate. Very good. Yeah, no, I don't like chocolate, but my favourite food is oranges. I have a massive orange bowl at home and I buy 12 oranges a week and I go through them all and no one else is allowed to steal them.
My mum loves oranges.
They're the best.
Number 9. What is your favourite year of school to teach?
Well, I surely just have to say year 3. I can't say anything else, can I? I'm your teacher and head of year 3. I actually do like... from what I've done, I've always taught Key Stage 2, so I've done year 3, year 4 and year 6, and they're all really different and they're all really unique in different ways. So actually, I think when you teach in that year group, you start to love it and then you move to a different year group and you love that as well. So I think...
Which one was challenging to teach?
I'd say my first year teaching, when I first started in year 3, it was hard because that the first year that I ever taught when I became a teacher was year 3. I didn't find year 6 too challenging, actually, because at the school that I went to, they didn't have to sit the 11 plus. So we just got to like teach them the nice lessons and not worry about the exams.
Finally, number 10, what's your favourite kids' movie?
Oh, I love the Bee Movie. Have you seen the Bee Movie?
Yes.
I think it's got a really nice message, and I think some people are quite scared of bees, but you shouldn't be scared of bees because they bring so much to the world and they bring so much goodness to the world. So I think the Bee Movie, I could definitely watch that again and again.
I was scared of bees, but I still really like the Bee Movie.
A wasp stung me on the ear.
So wasps cannot be very nice, whereas bees actually die when they sting you, so they don't want to hurt you, whereas wasps are quite nasty. I'm actually allergic to wasps.
Thank you for listening.
We hope you enjoyed our part of the podcast.
And thank you, Mrs. Hyer, for coming.
Thank you very much. I loved it.
Fantastic. Another fabulous interview. Well done, girls. We round things off with music, of course. Our intro music this week was created on Incredibox by James. And to outro this week, here's Lachlan playing T-Rex Hungry on the piano.